give Sutherland another hand. That was awesome. How you guys doing this morning? Good. At least one of you. Nice. Good, good. I do want to make an announcement. We have our mountain ministry to check out. That's today. That's today, yeah. So
at 1 o'clock, right after this service.
Yeah, so I want to make that announcement. But, hey, there's some exciting things. I don't know, how many of you were here last night for the combined service? So a couple of you, one of you, two of you, okay. A few of you guys, awesome. Well, then you probably already know the news, so I want to share it with the rest of you. But for our junior high and high school, there's been some dynamic changes in the sense of Pastor Ray, who was our high school pastor. God has moved him on to where he has some plans that God wants to do through him as far as the possibility of starting a church and all that kind of cool stuff. As a result of that, of course, with our high school ministry and the vision as far as growing and being able to thread what we're doing in junior high and high school, we've been in prayer and just praying about God's leading as far as the leadership and the pastor who will be taking that area of ministry. And as a result of just seeking the Lord and of course, talking with a few of the guys here, Jesse is going to be our new high school pastor. So can I get an amen on that? Yeah. So we're excited about that. But let me just say this. Those of you in junior high, it's not like Jesse's disappearing. He's going to be here still. We'll talk about the little bit of the transition when he will be taking that on. But as far as like being able to go into high school ministry, those of you who have had Jesse probably last two, maybe three or four years, at least seeing him here, you're going to be graduating into that area of ministry. So that's an exciting thing. Those of you who know Jesse and love the way that he teaches the word and his vision and his excitement that he brings. So we're excited about that. Of course, that leaves junior high open in the sense of junior high for leadership and vision. And of course, by prayer and talking with this next guy, we're excited that we're going to have Kelly that's coming on board. He's going to be our new junior high pastor. You guys know Kelly? And so having Kelly come on board, we're stoked about that. He's going to be taking that role in building leadership. As far as Jared, I know you wanted to get rid of him too, but no, he's going to stick around. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have some exciting things in store. I know between this transition, being able to go into high school and junior high ministry, Jesse's going to complete his series that he's been going through in Samuel and teaching about David and the Psalms and all that combination of things. And then as we do that transition, Kelly will be teaching in the high school ministry because he's been a part of the high school ministry. But what's awesome is as he comes in and will be doing the weekend services, Jared will also be stepping up and doing the midweek services as well. But again, you'll be seeing all of us. We'll be supporting one another and doing that. So we're excited about that. I did want to bring out my knife here, as you could see, that I brought with me. This is actually, yeah, one of a few. Oh, you want to unsheath it. There you go. This is the real deal. So when I took it out of my office as I was walking across the campus here, a few parents were looking at me, and I'm like, you know, junior hires, you got to, you know, and had a few of them frightened. But so I thought this would be a good way to knight them. You know, we've done, this is our third service now, and I know we're getting a little goofy, but we want to dub them Sir Jared. that's right. Just, yes. So we're knighting Jared. There we go. He's knighted. He's good. And Jesse. Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesse's knighted. There we go. You guys are witnessing this right now. Live on video. And then Kelly. Well, we'll back away. Well, we'll knight Kelly, too. There we go. All right. I don't know if you're supposed to. Yeah, good deal. Don't want to take a finger off there, but yeah, that's the real deal. I was went on a missions trip to Ethiopia, and the great thing about going on missions trips, you can buy stuff like this. I didn't carry it on with me. I put it in my suitcase. I brought like four or five knives back from Ethiopia. I love weapons. So yeah, we'll be giving this away. No, they wear it on their leg. This is the real deal, and they yeah, so. But let me just kind of turn it over to Jesse, and maybe you want to talk a little bit about what's going on and on down the line. So
yeah, so I just want to say, you know, maybe some of you are like, good, good riddance, glad Jesse's gone. But but seriously, I know for some of you, change is always difficult, it's always hard, and I can relate to that. You know, I remember when I was in eighth grade, I actually found out the pastor Skip was going to take over a church in California, and he'd been here over 20 years. It's like a father in the faith to me. And I remember crying myself to sleep that night because it was so like dramatic. And then later finding out my brother Levi was going with him out to California, it was a really hard thing. But the thing about change is that the Lord, he wants to teach us not to just depend on a person, but to depend on the person of Jesus. And it can sometimes be like almost, you know, in order for a space shuttle to make it out of the atmosphere, its rocket boosters have to fall back to Earth sometimes, you know? And so sometimes for God really to carry us on to where he wants us to go, sometimes things have to get stripped away, and it can be a little scary, but it's ultimately for us to reach our greater potential. And so I just want to encourage you. I know it can be kind of intense, but the Word of God never changes. Circumstances change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
And I'd just like to encourage you guys and just remind you that our faith is in Christ. Our faith is not in Jesse or myself or anybody else. And God's always going to be moving people throughout your entire life. There's going to be change. And what you have to realize is everything that appeals to you guys in Jesse or myself or any of your leaders, that's Christ in them. And that's who your faith is in. And people might go somewhere, but Christ isn't going anywhere. He's still going to be well and alive in this ministry. And so you guys can take heart in that, knowing that your relationship with Christ isn't changing at all. So we want to encourage you guys to take heart and to be a source of stability here for people who it is harder, who are taking the hit harder, who are taking the change more to heart and stuff. So come alongside them, encourage them. And we love you guys. We want to, if you guys have questions or are kind of freaked out about all this, come talk to us. We want to talk to you. We want to explain it to you thoroughly so you can really have a grasp on it. So we love you guys.
It's my turn to use the microphone. I just want to say I'm excited to get to know you guys and to serve with you, to serve alongside of you as Pastor Jared is going to be here. We're going to, you know, be a team with you guys and serve you guys and serve alongside of you. I'm just excited. But let's give it up for your youth pastors, guys. Let's give it up to your pastors. These guys are incredible people.
Awesome. Yeah, and you know what? I want to pray for these guys now. And we waited last service towards the end, but I want to go ahead and pray with these guys. Before I do that, let me just – do you mind sharing a little bit about the vision that we talked about for outreach and main auditorium? And then, again – yeah, just share that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I always do this. I always do this like every time. But I also just want to say this. You know, Kelly is one of my best friends in the whole world, and I've seen God's work in his life just in a tremendous way, and I see his gifting and his calling. And, you know, the way I think some of you, what I've seen in this ministry is you enjoy, I do my best trying to make the messages fresh and relatable and kind of use things that you can relate to and understand. And Kelly, he really has an ability and a gifting to do that same thing. And so I think you guys are going to just grow and flourish. And I'm excited what you're going to see in the new season. Something else that's coming around the corner is Pastor Skip and Pastor Jarrett and Pastor Brian. They've actually given us an opportunity to do something that's never really been done before, and they want us to do quarterly evangelistic events in the main sanctuary, you know, where we just pack that place out, we're running ads on the radio, where you're inviting all your friends at school, where we're doing things just on the internet and trying to just fill that place up, bringing in a band, and just see as many people come to Christ as possible. And so Velocity and Vertical will be working together on those events. So we're going to be kind of doing a coordinated effort. Maybe you were like, oh man, I miss Skull Church, or I wish I would have brought this friend to Skull Church. Well, this is going to be a platform to see people come to Christ like that on a pretty regular basis. So it's a thrilling new season. There's some great things coming up. And that's something, you know, although it may be a little bit heavy-hearted hearing all this, that's something we can kind of put our shoulder towards and be looking forward to.
Yeah, and just to say, you know, the transition, as I mentioned, as we're going into June and being able to see those changes, one of the ideas too is to be able to maybe even rename and rebrand some of the ministry that we have. And so you might see some of those changes as well. Again, the stability of what we're doing is going to be the same, but as far as vision There's so many exciting things coming our way, so be looking forward to that. So that as we go through this summer, and some of you graduate into high school ministry as well, and we start to receive new teens over from our children's ministry right now that will be coming, and as you welcome them, I'm excited because, again, as Kelly and Jared are leading in here, that God is just, he's just going to do a great work. So really stoked about that. And again, you know, God's got great plans, and I'm so excited that Kelly is going to be able to share that with you guys and as a pastor of junior high here. So let's pray for them. Again, I just want to mention, too, the faithfulness of all these men, and I think of Jesse for the last, you know, few years definitely within this ministry, and, of course, being on staff as an intern and then being our pastor here. It's awesome, and if you get a chance after service, there's nothing wrong with thanking them and, you know, for their faithfulness. And, you know, they're dedicated. They study and they love you. They express their love towards you by how well they study the word. And that's why they do what they do every single week in week and out of, you know, every single week in season, out of season. So we're excited for that. And we're just so blessed to have these guys on staff. You'll also see probably new members as we start to bring on other staff to help. And so I think you're going to be pretty stoked to see that take place. So let's pray for them, and then we'll go into our study this morning. Father, I just want to honor you by just giving you the praise and glory. And so true, as Jared said, that, Lord, you're the one that is the one we look to. And, Lord, we just are so grateful that to walk with you, it's exciting, it's new, it's fresh. And, Lord, you never allow us to just be stagnant in our faith, but you stretch our faith. And you cause us, Lord, to step out and trust you, and you challenge us. And I pray for Kelly specifically right now that as he comes into this role, that you would just bless him in junior high, that you would build around him a team that's just supportive. We pray for your anointing on his life, that you would give him your heart and your vision. And also for Jared, too, Lord, as he teaches and assists and really, Lord, is just such a personal person as a leader, but also as a pastor, that you anoint him as well for this new season and continue to bless these guys and the leadership here, Lord. And I pray for Jesse, too, that you would just anoint him as he, Lord, begins to work and thinks about the vision, and as he implements that, that you would just give him the strength and the ability to carry that out. And as the word, the gospel goes out, Lord, on these events that are coming up that we'll have, and that you would reach, Lord, many for your name, reach the youth of this generation, God. And we thank you for having a senior pastor like Pastor Skip that is in that same mindset and has a heart for youth and would allow us, Lord, to really just have the freedom just to reach and to reach out to our community and our city. God, we look forward to great things, and we praise you and we honor you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, cool. I'm so stoked, like I said, and excited for the the transition. And I mean, as we work out certain things, I know that God just has just great things in store for each of us. If you brought your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Actually, let's change it up a little bit. Why don't we turn to Luke chapter 5? Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Don't be confused. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke. You got it. Thank you. Yeah, join me. There you go. Okay. So Luke chapter 5. There's an inscription on the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C. that an artist inscribed on the Capitol Dome for the American people. Early in our history, he inscribed a phrase that said, "One God, one law, and one supreme event that the entire creation or the whole creation is moving towards." Of course, now as you look at that inscription, a lot of people can ask, well, what is that one supreme event that the world is moving towards, creation is moving towards? Some would say maybe a perfect society. Maybe world peace, maybe financial freedom. But in the mind of the author, he captured with the intent to keep people's mind on what is coming in the future, something greater than even a perfect society, and that is that Jesus Christ is coming again. That one supreme event that we're moving towards and the formation of that. When I think about going back further in history, Isaiah, as a prophet, when God had removed the king, Uzziah, in Isaiah chapter 6, for Isaiah to see that the Lord God himself was truly on the throne, his whole world was just rocked. His whole life changed. He realized that God was the one who was truly reigning. And Isaiah, as he was called and commissioned and went out, the Bible tells us that he cried out, but God said, you need to be cleansed, and he purified him. We know that in Isaiah 6 that God took the coal and cleansed his mouth so that he could speak the words of God. And he came out saying, Lord, here am I, use me. And God would use Isaiah. When I think about the prophet Jeremiah, God called him, and in that calling, God was forming in Jeremiah a heart for God's people. And in Jeremiah around verse 18 or chapter 18, God tells Jeremiah, I want to speak to you, but I'm going to speak to you in a very artistic way. So God called Jeremiah to go down to the potter's field. And so Jeremiah goes down to the potter's field. And as he's there, he sees the potter making a vessel, something at the will. And as he would turn the clay, and as you've ever seen someone make pottery, this platform would turn and they take a lump of clay and just throw it on there and use their hands and begin to form the vessel. Whether it would be a water pot or be used in a servant's home or a king's palace. Nonetheless, the vessel was being formed by the potter. And Jeremiah saw this, and as God showed him, there was something wrong in the clay. The clay was flawed. It was disfigured. So what happened is that the potter, he takes the lump and crumples it back up again and begins to reform it into a vessel that God then speaks to Jeremiah about, which was fitting for the master's use. What's amazing about that is God would show Jeremiah the formation of a sculpture, of a vessel that would be used for him. God was showing Isaiah something, or Jeremiah something very important, that the Christian life is being formed. God takes each one of our lives. Paul would pick up on this later on in the New Testament, and he would say that you're a vessel of honor. God would form us to be used in different ways. And we see people that are called of God, that are used, some in king's palaces, some as fishermen, some as farmers, some as the prophets of God. And what's amazing to me is that God is forming our lives. If you could summarize the entire Christian life into one word, the word that comes to my mind when I think of Jeremiah or Isaiah or the author or the sculptor who sculpted and inscribed on the Capitol Dome in that formation is that the word form. God is forming our life. One word that could encapsulate or summarize the history, really, of a Christian life is form, shape. There are four stages to that. There is that we are formed. God said that you're formed in the image of Him. God created us in His image. That's pretty profound when you think that God would take His time and He formed us in His image. That His desire was to be seen in our life. That when we look at mankind, that we would see God's image. And as we're made up of a body, a spirit, and a soul, which is called in theology the trichotomy of man, actually, it represents God, the triunity of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we would have a relationship with God, created in His image, formed by God. The second stage that we find as God created man is that something happened. We were flawed, like that piece of pottery that Jeremiah saw, that it was disfigured. And that form, that disfigurement, was sin. We find in the first few chapters, you can't get far in the Bible without realizing that man blew it. Within a short period of time, man sins, and as a result of that, God curses them, both man and woman. They're disformed. So you go from a stage of being formed in the image of God to being disformed. God's desire as you become a Christian and your sin is placed on the back of Jesus as our substitute, as he goes to the cross, he takes all that disfigurement, all that deformation, and he takes us, and it says that we are now transformed into the image of him by his Spirit. Paul would say, it's your reasonable service. It's your responsibility to lay your life down, your body down, as a living sacrifice to God. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know the verse. Lay your life as a living sacrifice down to God, which is your reasonable service. And be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the Spirit of God. It's amazing. Think about it. Formed by God, deformed by sin, transformed by the Spirit of God, and then conformed into the image of God. John, the apostle, he says, doesn't know, we don't know, we're called the children of God, but we do not know what we will be like until we see him. When Jesus is revealed from heaven, we will see him as he is, for we will be like him. Imagine that. That's the hope that we have. That's exciting news. That God is working right now in your life and my life as Christians by conforming and transforming our lives. We're no longer disformed. God is using our lives, and he has a plan and a purpose. Not to be conformed to the world, not to be shaped by the world, but to be shaped by God. Allow God's hand to touch your life and to change your life and to mold it into his plan and his purpose. In Luke chapter 5, we have a story here of the apostle Peter who's going to experience that. You know, it's funny because we go through phases in our life where we experience that transformation, where our mind understands, oh, this is what God had in mind. This is what God is doing. It can almost seem like a mystery. Like a mystery, like, you know, what is God doing? What is God's will for my life? What am I to be when I grow up? Well, ultimately, God is conforming and transforming our lives into his image. So we could just rest assured that God is doing a good work in us, and then also the goal, too, is that he would do it through us, that we would experience that now in our life, not only in heaven, of course, but right now. You know the story in Luke chapter 5, Jesus' ministry is taking off with great popularity. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, notice what it says. And so it was, as the multitude, they pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, I love that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Jesus is being bombarded. He's famous at this time in many ways, before the crowd turns against him and would crucify him later. But many are gathering to hear Jesus speak the word of God. And they're pressing in so much to where Jesus is on the shore. The ocean is behind him. And as people are gathering, he is like being pushed into the water. And as he's speaking the word of God and talking to them about the kingdom of God, notice what happens. So verse 2. And so he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had left their boats or gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. So we know this to probably be in the afternoon, early afternoon, probably around this time, around 11 o'clock. Because most fishermen, if you're wise enough, you'd go out early in the morning to catch fish, because that's when, you know, it's cool of the day. The fish are more at the surface of the water before they go deep in the water where it's cooler during the afternoon. And so they weren't in their boat. So the boats are empty, and Jesus is about ready to get into the boat because there's so many people. And, Jesus could have walked on water and stood on the water if he wanted to, but he decides to go and stand on a boat. Well, the boat he chooses, much like us this morning, we could be busy about doing ministry stuff and doing things, even for God, but kind of miss the whole thing. That the Lord says, hey, today I'm going to step into your boat. I'm going to step into your life. That's essentially what he's saying. I want to stand in your boat. I want to stand in your life. I want to be present in your life. Notice what it says. Then in verse 3 it says, then he got into one of the boats, and guess what? It was Simon Peter's. Peter's boat. He gets into it. And then he asked Peter, hey, by the way, would you put out a little from the land? Would you cast out further? Would you take your boat, leave the shore, and go deeper into the water? And he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. You know, the water, it's funny, when you're in the water, you know, you can be in a swimming pool and when you're yelling, water has a way of carrying sound. I mean, it's like you could yell and it just carries distance because of the way the surface is and the way that it reflects that. It just comes off of it. And it's a great just, you know, like an amphitheater. And so Jesus is in the boat and he's teaching the crowd. And when that's done, when the Bible study's over, I can imagine Jesus now turns to Peter and it tells us what happens. When he had stopped speaking, verse 4, he looks over to Simon and says, "Hey, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Let's go out to the deep waters. At that moment, I'm sure in Peter's mind, because he's about ready to say something to Jesus, Peter's thinking, "Oh, Jesus, you're not a fisherman. There's not going to be fish after we fished all day. There's no way." But he's like, "Peter, let's go out. I want to teach you a lesson privately about faith and transformation." Because this incident, by the way, is a turning point in Peter's life, like many that we read in the Bible, where Peter's life is altered. His life is changed. It's conformed. God presses in a little further and changes and you know, sculpts a little bit more into Peter's life. Notice what happens. And so Peter answers Jesus in verse 5 and said, "Master, we have worked all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." There's a lot of wisdom in that saying right there. Let me just say this. Always listen to Jesus. When Jesus gives the word, much like this commandment, go out into the deep, listen and obey him. Take that step of faith. Because what Peter is going to learn at this moment in his life is something that he would never learn by standing on the seashore. It's a lesson that he would only learn by being in the deep waters. And that is, God is truly God. And God can do all things. You see, in his own strength, Peter and the rest of the guys who were fishing, he admits, and that's hard for a fisherman, don't you agree? "We haven't caught anything." It's like somebody asking if they knew that you were playing a baseball game or a football game or volleyball or whatever and came up to you and said, "Hey, tell me, what was your score?" And if you had lost the night before, you'd played that game. You know, it's hard to admit that you lost. "We lost 40-0, you know. We're losers." That's a hard thing to admit. "Jesus, you know what? We've already tried that. We've already launched out into the deep and we let down our nets. We have fished all night. We've caught nothing. There's nothing more to do." Really? It's like Jesus says, "Really?" "But nevertheless, Lord, at your word," there's some wisdom there. Because at the word of Jesus, there's power. There's power in Jesus' word. There's power when Jesus says, "Hey, go do this." As the saying goes, Jesus would never tell us to do anything unless he gives us the power to do it. He would never expect us to do something if he doesn't give us the power, the ability, the strength, the power to do it. And so he launches out, says, look at verse 6. "And when they had gone out to the deep, and they let their net out, a great number of fish was caught, and the net began to break. So they even signaled to their partners in the other boats that were around them, and they said, 'Come and help us.' And they came, and they also filled their boats so that they began to sink." Imagine that. So many fish in the boat, it began to sink. Now, I would love to be on a fishing trip like that. I mean, that is awesome. I mean, just one fish after another, just catching multitudes of fish where your boat begins to sink. As smelly as that is, it's a good thing because it was food. Imagine that. And even the other boats that came around, they began to fill them. If there were other boats, I do not doubt that they would have filled those as well. So much of our limitations does not restrict God. So many of our limitations really holds us back, not God. God can do all things. If we had more boats, if we had more trust in Him, God can fill everything. And I believe that's what He wants to do in our junior high and high school. I believe He wants to fill the boats to where they begin to sink, to where we're like, hey, bring some more boats. Notice what happens to Peter. Talk about transformation. His world is going to change in this moment. And so when Simon Peter, in verse 8, he saw this, it says that he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Depart from me, God." He knew at that moment that something supernatural happened, because he falls down and he worships Jesus. When Jesus tells us to do something, and we do it, and we see Him work this way, what a reminder to always give Him glory. To stop what we're doing, fall down on our knees, and say, "God, You're worthy. This is all You. You receive the glory." Peter recognizes Jesus is different. That He is God. He's different than ordinary people, ordinary man. That He is the true and the living God. Falls down, but he also says, "I'm a sinner." The amazing thing I've noticed is the closer you walk with the Lord, the brighter the light gets. Sounds pretty profound, yet simple. The closer that you walk up to the Lord and the closer you get to the Lord, guaranteed the spotlight will get brighter. And what that does is it exposes more in your heart and my heart. You begin to see how much more of a sinner you are. You begin to see the flaws. It's like waking up in the morning and hitting the lights on in the bathroom. The spotlight comes on and you see every flaw in your face. Your hair's sideways. You know, it's just like you see everything. When the light is that bright, God exposes the smallest areas in our life of sin, of deformation. For a reason. Don't be surprised if you pray, and that is your prayer, "God, I want to be closer. I want to be transformed. I want to know You more." Be prepared that He may reveal more sin in your life. Don't be shocked by it, because we see here that the closer you gain access to the Lord and God begins to reveal more of Himself, you really see who you are and who He is, but you also see how great He is. You see a more outlined form of who He is. You see His purity. You see His holiness. You see His love. But you also see how much of it you don't have. And it causes us sometimes to back away because we're shocked. Well, listen, God is not shocked at you. God is not shocked because He knew what He bought and He knew what He got when He bought you. He bought you with His own blood, the Bible says. He's not surprised. You know, we're the ones who are surprised when we fall into sin, and we should be. But God's not surprised. With His great love and that transforming work that He does in His Spirit, He wants to reveal that we can't catch fish without Him. No matter how good of a fisherman I am, no matter how relevant my nets are, how clean they are, what time of the day it is, doesn't matter to Him. If it's God and He's doing it and He says, "Go out deeper, I want you to catch more fish." One of the interesting things I note is that it's so true. God, we could be safe in our faith and be like ankle deep in water. I can still feel the bottom. Growing up in California, I spent a lot of time at the ocean, and I'd probably go three times a week because I lived pretty close to the ocean, and I just spent a lot of time there. My son would surf about 3 times a week, and so I spent a lot of time at the ocean. One thing I do know is that when you're about an ankle deep in the water, you feel the shore. You can feel, you know, the wave comes in and the sand goes out. It begins to draw you out, pulls you out. Deeper you go, and maybe you're up to your knees, it begins to pull you a little bit more. It's interesting, when you get out deep enough, as you know, the wave can begin to take you. And there are these things called riptides that actually spin backwards and actually suck you out into the ocean to where you can drown. These riptides have a way of like pulling you out and then across the ocean, literally within a matter of maybe about 15 seconds, you could be a quarter of a mile out in the ocean, especially in Northern California. And they rate those. They know how to read those. People who look at the ocean, oceanography, they understand there are riptides and rip curls that they're aware of that can be dangerous. What the Lord tells us here, I think, with Peter is you can either stay on the shore and enjoy the multitudes. And there's a place for that. There's a place in our faith for filling the ground. But I believe with all my heart, God wants us to experience not touching the bottom. But we're afraid. Lord, what if I can't touch the bottom and I'm sucked out to the ocean? God says, I'm there. God wants to take us deeper in our walk. And the moment that we step out, I believe, like Peter here, into the deep, these are the only kind of lessons that we can learn. By going deep into the water and letting go and surrendering and allowing God to just take me and to trust Him, even when I can't touch the bottom. God is in control. Peter takes this lesson and turns it into worship. Notice as we come to a close here, as Peter falls on his face there before the Lord in verse 9, for it says, for he and all who were with him, they were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Even James and John were there. They were also partners with Peter. And Jesus then looks to Peter, and they all witness this happening. They see Peter on his knees before the Lord worshiping, and Jesus, I can imagine putting his hand on Peter's shoulder. I don't know if he did that, but he said, do not be afraid, Peter, for now on you will catch men. This is only an example. They were so astonished and shocked that they caught fish. That's like us. We're excited because, you know, we're like, Lord, you did this great work. Jesus says, hey, you're excited about fish? What I really want to do and expose to you and show you what I really want to do is to catch men. You're excited now. Wait till you see this happen. And it's like that with the Lord. But I believe with all my heart, God had to show them this lesson to go out deeper and to trust Him when they can't touch the bottom and to be able to cast their nets at the word of Jesus, at the word of Jesus' power. And as they did that, God says, listen, there's no way I could have shown you this on the shore. And you think that's killer? Let me show you something else. You're going to catch men. And it's not only going to fill this boat, but it's going to fill the world. They're astonished. Finally, he says here, so when they had brought their boats back to land, they forsook everything. They forsook all, and they followed him. Period. That's it. I love that it says they just didn't follow him, but it says they forsook everything else. Here's a little secret. We know that Peter was called before this. And he had, it tells us in the Bible that he left all and he followed Jesus. Do you think that there are moments in our Christian walk where the Lord calls us and we follow him? And then there's another stage in our life where God shows us and reveals something. Then he calls us to another step, a deeper walk. And we go through that whole process again, but on a greater level where the Lord says, now I can honestly say, not only do I follow the Lord, but I forsake all because nothing else will do. Nothing else will satisfy my life. I believe that with all my heart. There have been phases in my life, being 42 years old right now, looking back on my life and yet more to come, where I realize that God has taken me, and although I followed him young in my life, forsook all that I had at that moment, there's been a moment in my life, and I can recall there are when I was around my 20s, where I forsook all and I followed the Lord again, and then when I was in my 30s, and then just recently where I forsook all and I followed the Lord, there are phases like that in my life, and there will be with you as well. And there has been. Are you willing, at the word of Jesus, in your schools, in your home, in your personal life, to get in the boat with Jesus? You say, well, it doesn't work. I've already done that. I've tried to live the Christian life. God says, here's another opportunity. I want to take you deeper. Hey, when Jesus is in the boat, my gosh, anything's possible. Anything's possible. He will blow your mind. Remember, Jesus is doing this. It wasn't because Peter was a great fisherman. He already proved that he couldn't catch any fish. But when Jesus got in the boat, everything changed. I know for many of you, Jesus is in the boat, in your heart, in your life this morning. But now he says, okay, I've talked to the crowds. I don't want you just to be with the crowd anymore. I want to personally take you to the deep waters. If you're willing to row out there and show you some cool things. And Jesus takes something very physical and changes it into the spiritual. Takes something very practical and takes it into the supernatural. You caught fish, you're excited. And I think the Lord just smiles and goes, man, if you get excited over those things, that's awesome. But really what I really wanted to show you was that you're going to catch men. You're going to bring people into my kingdom. What excites you this morning? The new video game? New clothes? The world? What shapes your life? If you could just say, this one thing is shaping my life. If it's of the world, get rid of it. Ask God to reform and reshape your life, to transform your life. What excites you? Seeing people come to Christ? As a believer, it should. Because honestly, God's not playing games. He really isn't. He's fighting and warring for the souls of mankind. And don't let anybody fool you. God is into numbers. He has a scoreboard. He's concerned about the final score. Because he wants to see on that scoreboard 20 billion people coming to him. Satan, zero. Because it says thousands will stand before his throne. Talk about a big church and crowds. Will stand before his throne and worship him. Take that step of faith. Go out into deep waters. Let's stand and pray. I'm stoked for you guys. I know God has great plans and I see it in your lives. And quite honestly, I know some of you are getting ready to go into high school. But it's so true that a lot of the decisions you make now really set the tone or the pace or shape from going from junior high to high school. And if you're trusting the Lord now, you're going to be able to trust the Lord in high school or going into this next grade or over this summer. God has, he wants you to trust him and to walk by faith. You just need to say, Lord, let's go deep. Let's go into the deep waters. Father, I thank you for my younger brothers and sisters here, and I pray that you would just develop in them that confirmation of that you are working, that you've inscribed on their hearts your plan, that you're coming soon, that you're preparing their lives, and as you prepare their lives and our lives, God, that you are conforming and you're transforming and you're teaching us to walk by faith and take those steps of faith. So, Father, I pray for each one of them that you would help them to see that and to trust you. And, Lord, your word this morning to us is to go and to launch out into the deep, to allow you to do a great work in our life. As we respond to you, God, as you reveal our true nature, as we grow closer to you, Help us not to be afraid. Help us to glorify you more, to worship you deeper. May the words that we sing be true in our lives. And God, again, I just pray for the youth ministries as a whole that you continue to do a great work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Take my pulse to pace.